you probably know this, but we are a non-denominational church. But for this sermon series, we are going old school Baptist. We are yelling at you about sin and making you feel bad. I don't know why you keep coming back, right? I don't know why. Probably for the donuts, but there it is. What we're doing in this series is we are talking about what I call JV sins, or what our culture might call small sins or respectable sins. And our goal in this is not to cause condemnation, but rather conviction. And our hope is that grace and the gospel and growth would flow into our lives. That is our hope. Now, today I get to go where angels fear to tread. We will be speaking about gluttony.
Dunder Mifflin,
would anybody like to trade places with
him? He's not available right now.
Please, I offered it to my staff, guys. Nobody took the offer. Oh, God help me. So it's going to be good if we ease our way into this one with a clip from The Office.
Dunder Mifflin, this is Aaron. He's not available right now. Uh-huh. Yes. Sure, I'll give him a message when he gets back.
Michael had chicken pot pie for lunch. Actually, let me rephrase that. Michael had an entire chicken pot pie for lunch. And let me be more specific. Michael ate an entire family-sized chicken pot pie for lunch, and then he promptly fell asleep. So we're all trying to be very quiet so as to not wake him up before 5 p.m., which actually should be in about 10 minutes.
Fantastic. All right, if we're going to talk about gluttony, we ought to laugh our way into this to soothe the pain, because let's be honest, this is a touchy one, this is a tricky one, particularly in America. Gluttony is a particularly American sin. See, we're okay talking about sin in general, but Lord have mercy, you better not talk about our pet cultural sins. And gluttony is something that I could easily talk about in many cultures, but in America, it gets difficult. 34% of Americans are obese. It's 1 in 3. And that's obese, not overweight. Most of us are overweight. This is a particularly American sin. And there is lots of shame and a lot of defensiveness surrounding this issue. Why? Because this is a sin that we assume is visible. Now, note, that's not necessarily true. We're going to talk about that in a moment and at length. But for now, you get that. Like when Jared spoke about lying last week, you didn't come away from that message going, I'll bet she's a liar. Look at him. He's a liar. No, they're good. But right, like you didn't do that. But with gluttony, though we are often wrong, we make assumptions. We assume it is publicly on display. And so there is shame and defensiveness that surrounds this issue. And that might be why nobody preaches on it. I mean, how often have you heard a sermon on gluttony? Despite the fact that it is in the scriptures, it's rarely there. And so all we're left with, if you want a sermon on it, your best shot is to listen to a Jim Gaffigan routine. Right? And we'll listen to some clips this morning. But still, that sin is in the respectable sin category. Why? Because, look, we never talk about gluttony with repentance and remorse. My guess is you use the term when you're making a joke. It's a respectable sin. And so we're going to, what my goal today is to thin out the crowd. See what I did there? So either we're going to thin it out or you're all going to get mad at me and I'm going to thin out the crowd. Right? Either way, we'll solve the parking problem. So we'll be okay, right? So we're going to thin out the crowd by looking at these four things. What it is, why we love it, why God hates it, and what to do. So to jump into what it is, here is a definition. A glutton is the selfish person that took the donut you wanted. Right? That's not a good definition. That's a bad one. So here's a better one. Gluttony. Noun. Gluttony. It's usually referring to food. Gluttony is the act of excessive consumption of some part of God's good creation, replacing the creator with the created in one's heart. Attempting to use that thing to fulfill a need it can't fulfill and bringing harm to the glutton. There's a lot packed in there. We'll get back to it. But first, notice at the bottom I put a verse. In my opinion, this is one of the best verses on gluttony. Proverbs 25, verse 16 says, "If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it." Do you like when the scriptures talks about vomit? So there it is. Now, as you look at that verse, do you think God is like particularly bunged up about human honey consumption? Isn't that his major concern? Like the Trinity is thinking about the scriptures and they're up in heaven and the Holy Spirit says, you know what? We really need a verse in there to limit honey consumption because it's getting out of hand. No, it's a principle. It's a principle about excessive consumption and how it sickens us, how it's harmful to us. And so I want to unpack both the definition and the verse there, because they obviously go together. But in order to do that, the first thing I want to do is give a huge, loud caveat right up front. As you look at that screen, I hope you notice something. It is all about actions and heart. There's nothing up there about body mass index. There's nothing up there about height-weight ratio. There's nothing. There's no silhouette on the screen to give you some ideal body shape. None of that is in there. Why? Because we have this issue. Not all gluttons are overweight. And not all overweight people are gluttons. There are skinny non-gluttons. There are skinny gluttons. And there are overweight non-gluttons. Think about the skinny glutton part, right? Like, those are your friends who can, like, totally gluttonously engorge themselves all day long, and they're skinny. And we want to throat punch those people, right? And then there's bulimics. A little less funny, but they're people who are gluttonously engorge themselves on food to meet some other need, but they don't look overweight. Now, on the other hand, we do have people who are overweight but are not gluttons. Sometimes, yes, it's glandular. Sometimes it's a digestive issue. Sometimes it's a DNA issue. So just because somebody is big doesn't necessarily mean that person is a glutton. But now let's be careful as a culture, and we need to be honest. Most large gluttons would say it's glandular. It is particularly striking how America, being the wealthiest nation given over to excessive consumption, how we have this huge concentration of glandular issues. You see that? And it's amazing in that way. And so what has happened is Americans have actually grown over time, and it's not that our glands have changed. It's that our consumption has changed. Look at McDonald's fries. In 1955, you had one option, 2.4 ounces. Do you want fries with that? That's all they meant. Now, you have three options. You can get the small, which is larger than the standard back then. 2.6 ounces, medium 3.9, and large 5.9 ounces, more than double. Maybe our glands haven't changed. Maybe our consumption has. And the proof of this is people who have lost a significant amount of weight. Let me ask, is there anyone in here who has lost more than 25 pounds? Look at that. Can you give it up for those people? That's fantastic. Great, great work. We're cheering you on. That is awesome. That is awesome. Here's the thing. Do you think all those people got glandular transplants? No. They probably most often got diet and exercise in control. There was a gluttony issue. See? And so right there, we know we got to be a little bit more honest. Yes, we often hide behind the glandular issue. Why? Because then nobody's a sinner, everybody's a victim. But that's not what the Bible says. And now you know why nobody wants to preach on this. Because I feel really awkward and I want to leave, right? So it's an issue here. But I'm going to hang on to two things. Number one, if someone is large, I do not know that that person's a glutton. And number two, many large gluttons lie and say it's glandular. I gotta hold on to both of those. And so the result is, I don't know who's lying, but I know some are. And that right there reminds me of Jim Gaffigan's routine on McDonald's. Watch this.
I reference McDonald's a lot because I go to McDonald's. I love the silence that follows that statement. Like I just admitted to support dog fighting or something. How could you? McDonald's. It's fun telling people you go to McDonald's. They always give you that look like, oh, I didn't know I was better than you. No one admits to going to McDonald's. They sell 6 billion hamburgers a day. There's only 300 million people in this country. It's like, I'm not a calculus teacher, but I think everyone's lying. You ever been at McDonald's and you see a friend for a second, you're like, oh, crap.
So maybe the issue is that we're all lying, you know, and we're all gluttonous. And at the end of the day, it's not about a body shape. It is about a heart. It is about a set of actions. And that's where we have to land, because there's two great effects that come from this. Catch this. The first one is this. It is not about a body shape, because if it is about a body shape, then the question is, who decides? What body shape? Do we punt that one to the media and to Hollywood and we get fictitious, impossible, airbrushed images? We get images based on emaciated models who starve themselves? If we make it about a body image, they get to decide. If we make it about a heart and an action, that whole game goes away. You see that? Beautiful. The second good influence of this, or impact, is that it makes me examine myself. I would love for gluttony to be about a particular body image. And the reason why is because then I can have an image in my mind and I can go about judging you, right? I get to look out. But as soon as I make it about a heart and an action, I don't know your heart and I don't know your actions. There's only one person that I know in that way. It's me. And so now I'm not looking out, I'm looking in. And so the issue of gluttony is not to judge other people's, it's to examine ourselves. That's a great impact from that. So let me ask you, have you ever said, whew, I just ate too much. I can't believe I ate that whole thing. If I eat another bite, I'm going to pop. Maybe it's not about a body image. Have you ever used food or something else to soothe emotional pain in your life? Maybe it's not about a body image then. Maybe we're all guilty of it. So it's not about airbrushed standards, and it's not about body shaming, but it is about actions, it is about heart. Granted, yes, gluttony can lead to a particular body shape. I get that. But it doesn't always, so it's not a necessary connection, so we've got to be very careful of judgmentalism. Do you know why? Because that's another week. It's coming. Right? So don't go there. Instead, focus on your own personal actions, your own personal heart, and not the body shape and appearance of others. Okay? Now, with that said, I've just spent a lot of time talking about what gluttony is not. Now I want to talk about what gluttony is. And if you look at the definition as well as the verse, you'll notice that what it is, it takes some good part of God's creation. Some wonderful gift from God that he's given to us to enjoy, like honey. Honey is sweet. Baklava. Love it. Like, honey is good. It's a good gift from God, and we are supposed to enjoy it. We're meant to. So, but look at this. Look at with gluttony. Nobody says, hey, have fun with murder, but do it in moderation. Don't want to be a glutton with murder. No, that's bad. You're not supposed to do it at all. Gluttony has to do with good parts of God's creation that we are doing to excess. And that's the next point. That we're doing it to excess. It's excessive compulsion. It's engorging on honey to the point I vomit it. It makes me sick. It hurts my life in some way. Why do I do that? Well, when I do that, obviously at that point, it's no longer about the taste of honey, is it? It's about something else going on in my life. That I'm trying to get honey to meet the need of, and it's not supposed to. It's some social, emotional, or spiritual pain that I'm trying to ask honey to meet, and it doesn't meet. That's what's going on there. So a good thing has become a God thing. It's idolatry. It's a worship issue. And so I'm going to that thing for comfort. I'm going to that thing for control. I've taken some good part of God's creation. I've made it a God thing. I've let it get out of its proper place. I've let it take God's place in my life. And therefore, I go there to excess. That's gluttony. Now, you all probably think that I am gluttonous about bacon. Don't you? I do love bacon. Anyway, it is a great, great thing of God's creation. In fact, to make that point, Jim Gaffigan.
Of course, what makes breakfast in bed so special is you're lying down and eating bacon, the most beautiful thing on earth. Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, ah, yay, bacon! You want to know how good bacon is? To improve other food, they wrap it in bacon. If it weren't for bacon, we wouldn't even know what a water chestnut is. Thank you, bacon. Sincerely, Water Chestnut III. And those bits of bacon are like the fairy dust of the food community. You don't want this baked potato? Bring! Now it's your favorite part of the meal. Not interested in a salad? Bibbidi bobbidi bacon! I'll just turn it into an entree.
Bacon is the food of angels. It's good stuff. I do love it. Now, you think I'm gluttonous, but I'll tell you a little personal fact here. Shannon never makes me bacon. Isn't that sad? It is a conflict in our marriage. We're currently getting marital counseling. Pray for us about this issue. It's a bad thing. And so one time she took the kids to go visit her parents, and I was home alone. I found in the freezer the biggest package of bacon I've ever seen. Fried up the whole thing. Made it a mess of the kitchen. I mean, I had no idea what I'm doing. And then I sat down, and in one sitting, I ate the whole thing. Now, you got to know about halfway through it. And I kept going. It wasn't about bacon anymore. There was something else going on in my life that I was being gluttonous with bacon in that moment. You get that, right? It's taking a good thing to excess. That's what gluttony is. But it's not always about bacon. It's not always about honey. It's not just about food. We can be gluttonous with other things in our lives. In fact, in Gaffigan's bit on McDonald's, he goes on to make that point. I'm not going to show the clip because I've already shown two. If I show three, that's gluttony. And that's not good during a sermon on gluttony. So I'll just tell you what he said. He goes on to say that, look, some of you aren't going to McDonald's, but there's other things you go to. And what he says is, quote, it's all McDonald's. And let me give you some examples from our lives. What about TV shows? There's bad TV shows, but there's some really good shows, like The Office, right? And some of you binge watch them. Can I give you a hint? If you have to put the term binge in front of anything, that should be a tip-off to you, right? Binge watching shows. Or what about video games? I've enjoyed video games at seasons of my life. There's also been seasons that I can't even remember, right? Because I've lost like weeks of my life to video games. That is gluttony. There's things like exercise. Well, that's interesting. Exercise can be good for the body, right? Well, yeah. There are some people, though, who are gluttonous with exercise, and they're doing it to excess to meet some other need. And then there is social media. Social media can be a wonderful thing to connect us socially. Some of you are gluttonous with social media. You're going to it to meet another need, and you are vomiting all over the internet, and we are tired of looking at it, right? So, there's vomit there. So, and then there's alcohol. Now, gluttony of alcohol is called drunkenness. The scripture talks about that too. And we're okay talking about drunkenness, but don't you talk about my food consumption. Scripture talks about both. And then one other I will give you is having a cat. Because that's way too much right there. That's excess. But I apologize. It's not gluttony because that's not a good part of God's creation. So we have talked enough about what gluttony is. What I want to do, I want to talk about why we love it so much. We love gluttony because it's yummy. Honey is sweet and bacon is, well, bacon, right? Like, so it tastes so good. Now, why does it taste good? It tastes good because God is such an artist. God is an amazing artist. You look out at creation and the variety and the beauty that he has put out there for us to feast our eyes on. He's such an artist. And folks, by the way, this is the fallen world. Can you imagine what it was like before the fall or what it will be like someday? Oh my goodness. He's such an artist. But it's not only visual art. He's a master chef. He put flavor in the food. He didn't have to. All your food could taste like cardboard. And you'd still have to eat it to stay alive. But he didn't do that. He's an artist. He put flavor in the food. And he gave us taste buds to enjoy it with. And it is awesome. That's a good and glorious thing. And so then we move from the artist to the art. We put our hope there and we engorge ourselves to excess. We love gluttony. It's not just about the taste, right? Look, when you engorge yourself on honey to the point you vomit, either you love the taste of vomit in your mouth, or it's about something other than honey, isn't it? Something else is going on down there underneath the surface in your heart. And what is it about? We are trying to get food to meet a need that food was never intended to meet. And here's four ideas I'll give you. Sometimes we go there for comfort. We even have a phrase, right? It's comfort food. Maybe that's an indication. Or we go there for control. There's some area of my life that's out of my control. I don't like what's going on there. You know what I can control? I can control what I eat. Sometimes that'll lead people to eat too much. Sometimes to eat too little. But it's a control issue. Sometimes it's a love issue. Emotional pain, relational pain, loneliness in our lives. And so, you know where we go? Ben and Jerry. Because those boys never reject us. And so we go to a gallon of ice cream, and maybe it's not about ice cream, huh? Or what about boredom? Sometimes life is just not stimulating enough. We're bored. We do it for entertainment, and we wear a path between the couch and the fridge, back and forth, back and forth. Boredom. Those are some of the things. See, it's not about the food, is it? There's something. See, gluttony is not just about how much you eat. It's about why you eat. It's about both of those. And from my definition, I said choosing food to meet a need that food was never designed to meet and it can't meet. So it's not really about your mouth. It's about your heart. So what's going on there is we have an empty spot down inside of us. It's not in our stomach. It's in our heart. And so we take food and we throw it down the pipe. But it doesn't go into our heart and meet that need. It goes into our stomach. And so now we have full stomachs, but we still have empty hearts. So maybe loneliness drove me to eat. And at the end of engorging myself, what I have is I still have an empty heart and I just have a new belt size. I still have the original problem. Now I'm just several pounds heavier. And so you know what? That makes me feel shame and guilt and disgust. So you know what I do? Eat some more. And so starts the cycle. And it's so destructive in our lives and God hates it. In fact, let's talk about that. Let's go to that next category. God hates it. Why does he hate it? Because he loves us. He absolutely loves us, and he knows that things in excess can be destructive in our lives. I'll give you an illustration on that. Did you know there's going to be an eclipse tomorrow? You might have missed that. Nobody's talking about it, so let me let you know that. There'll be an eclipse tomorrow. And I went online on how to view it. You know, you can make like a pinhole viewer out of a box. You stick your head in and all that. I love that they have to give disclaimers not to turn it around and look at the sun through the pinhole. Because it's not magic cardboard. I mean, you get that, right? You're staring at the sun. Why is that a problem? The sun is a good part of God's wonderful creation. If you stare at the sun, you go blind. What you have is the sun in excess, and it's destructive. And food can be that way in our lives. And God loves us enough to tell us about that. So gluttony is harmful both physically and spiritually. The physical side is about how much you eat. I've already told you that one out of three Americans are obese, that most of us are overweight. Do you know 14 million Americans are currently struggling with coronary heart disease? 500,000 die from that every year. It's America's leading killer. I know there are stress and smoking factors, but doctors would tell us diet is the biggest factor. It's killing us. There's other heart and health concerns. There's high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, liver disease, osteoarthritis, stroke. The Jews had a proverb. They'd said this, that the glutton digs his own grave with his teeth. It's killing us. It's absolutely killing us. And so how is it a loving thing of a good God to stand by and say nothing when we're killing ourselves with our teeth? Of course he speaks into it because he loves us. But it's not just about how much we eat. It's also about why we eat. It's a spiritual issue. I told you some of the causes that lead us there. Think of comfort. Did you know the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter? We're supposed to go to God for our comfort. We've swapped him out. There's the issue of control. Who is supposed to be in control? God, right? So something's out of whack in our lives. We go to God and we submit and we yield and we say, I don't like it, but God, you're in control. I'm okay. No, we try to control it with food. Or love. We're supposed to have our love needs met in God and to love him with all our heart and to go to his body and be filled with relationships of love. And instead, we go to the freezer. Or there's boredom. You know, we've been studying through our way through Acts and we've seen the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't seem bored because he was so busy serving God. What if you got busy serving God and his kingdom instead of going to the drive-thru? You see, God is supposed to meet those needs. This is a worship issue. This is an issue of idolatry. This is when we take a good thing and we make it a God thing. And Paul knew that. And so this is what he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. You see, the way it was designed to work is that God, this wonderful artist, gave us good things. And we were supposed to receive those gifts from him. And as we enjoy them, our worship flows through that thing and lands on the giver, not the gift. It lands on the artist, not the art. And we worship him in those moments, but we don't do that. We stop short. And our worship lands on the thing itself, and that becomes our God. That's a very spiritual issue in our lives. It's physically destructive, spiritually destructive, and God loves us so much, and he wants to lead us out. So what should we do? Let's talk about that. What should we do? Well, on the physical side, I'm not here to give you the latest fad diet, okay? We ain't talking about quinoa ever in this church, okay? Like, we're not doing that. But if you are overweight, please don't miss this. We love you. We care about you. We want you to live long and prosper, right? We care about your health. We want better for you. But I'm a pastor, not a dietitian. And I am convinced that unless we deal with the heart issues, we'll never deal successfully in a sustained way with the action issues, with the diet issues. We've got to talk about the heart, the spiritual side. You got to meet the true need. Figure out what is the true need in your life that is driving you to gluttony. Is it the comfort thing? Then run to the comforter. Pray. Seek God. Is it the control issue? Then yield your life to God and say, okay, God, I'm obviously not in control. You are, and I'm okay with that. Deal with that issue. Is it the love issue? Then not only build your love relationship with God, but you need to get in a small group. You need to pack your life full with Christian relationships, fellowship, a network that is loving you and you're loving them. I can't guarantee you a date, but you can, if you want, get in Christian community. Pack your life. Or what about boredom? What if you got busy volunteering in our church, volunteering at a local ministry partner of ours? Fill your life with serving God and his kingdom. Squeeze gluttony out. At the end of the day, folks, you will either run to your kitchen or you will run to the throne room of God. And I hope you make your choice well. Look at Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Look what Jesus said in John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Your heart is aching. I want you to go satisfy your hunger in God and God alone. And then one last suggestion. I really want you to enjoy good food with God. Go savor the wonderful creation he gave us. Now put food in its proper place and put God in its proper place, right? Food is not your provider. Food's not your savior. God is. Have them both in the right place. And when you do, then when you eat, you give glory to God. Look at it in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Folks, this is why we pray before we eat. It's not because of some legalism that you have to. No, we do that because we turn those moments into holy moments. And that's why we don't just do some recited, memorized prayer, right? Thank you, Father, for this food. We pray that Caleb won't be rude. I use that over and over, right? You can pray, please pray that. Don't swap it out for your kid's name. No, intercede for my family, please. I'm begging you. All right. No, it's not about some recited prayer. It's a holy moment. That is a moment when you can take every delicious bite and turn it into worship of God. You can let your worship flow through the food and land on the artist, not the art. Maybe you remember our recent series on worship. It's more than you think, which means it's not just about Sunday mornings. But every bite is an opportunity to be in a worship service. And every place you eat is meant to be a sanctuary. You see, it's not about a body shape. Every last one of us deals with this. And we want God to change our hearts and thereby change our actions. And so for that, let me pray. Father God in heaven, thank you very much for your grace to us, because we admit in many ways we've taken your good creation and we've idolized it and we've turned it into our God. We've certainly done that with food. What a blessing that it doesn't taste like cardboard, that you, the great giver, the great artist, have given us such a wonderful gift there. We receive it gladly from you. And now we pray, Father God, that you would break our grip on gluttony, not by just trying to white knuckle with willpower, but Father God, to address the issues in our heart and to take a posture of worship before you. We would submit to you. Father God, we ask that you would start to weed this out of our lives. I do pray for our brothers and sisters here who maybe feel particularly exposed by a sermon like this. I pray for your grace and mercy on them. I pray for your correction in all of our minds right now, that we would not assume what we do not know. That we would not look outward, that all of us would look inward as you correct this sin in our lives. Thank you for Jesus covering our sins. And we pray in his name. Amen.